I want you to take your Bibles, please, and open them to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, for the message this morning. I want to encourage you to be back in our service this evening at 7. Lord willing, I'm going to be speaking tonight on the fire of God. And I would like for you to hear the message. Hope everyone will plan to be here this evening at 7 o'clock for our evening service. John chapter 15, I'll begin reading in verse 1. And this is the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room on the eve of the crucifixion. So you would imagine that the last words that he would have to say to his disciples are important words, and indeed they are. Let's begin in verse 1, and I'll read down through verse 9. Verse 9 is the text verse, so pay close attention when we get to it. Beginning in the first verse, the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now here's the text verse. Listen very carefully. The Lord Jesus says to these men, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Now let me read that first part again. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you. Oh, thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I pray that we will realize that the words that we just read are the eternal words of the living God. And heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless this morning as we look at the truths of this little statement and realize its value and its importance to the believer. Lord, help us to get a little glimpse this morning of just how much you love us. Lord, I pray that we will leave here this morning with a new perspective and a new attitude, that, Lord, we will just look to the Lord Jesus and trust in him for all of our need. Father, I pray that you'll have liberty to move and work and speak to hearts. And Father, help me this morning as I preach. I need your blessing. I need your power. I need you, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit and enable and help the words that I say not to just be the words that fall on deaf ears, but that, Lord, we will hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Lord, stir our souls this morning with your eternal truth. And if there's a soul here today that's not yet saved, may today be the day that they put their faith and trust in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Lord, do a real work in our hearts today. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name and amen. We used to sing in Sunday school when I was a little boy. I didn't get saved until I was 16 years of age, but for as long as I can remember, we were in Sunday school. Either my mother took us, we would walk down to the mouth of Spring Fork Road and go to the Baptist church down at the end of the road, or else I went to the Nazarene church with my dad's sister. But we always went to Sunday school, and I can remember as a child singing in Sunday school, "Jesus loves me, This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I suppose that that is probably one of the most known hymns there is. Actually, that's a hymn, not just a chorus, but there's an entire hymn in our songbook, Jesus Loves Me. And I wonder, though, how many of us have really stopped to consider this great truth. Well, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, it tells us that in a lot of places. But one of the places that it tells us that he loves us is found in the text verse that I have chosen for you this morning. In verse 9, Jesus said to the disciples, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." I dare say that not one of the disciples doubted that Jesus loved them. I will just about guarantee you that all of the disciples believed with every fiber of their being because he displayed it, he showed it, he proved it to them over and over and over again. Christ's love for them was the crowning glory of the years that they spent with him. You know, there are those who always find it easy to believe that other people love them. They accept love as the flowers accept the rain after a long dry spell. It's just natural for them. But there are some people who find it very difficult to accept the fact that someone actually loves them. And a couple of the disciples were like that. You might remember when we studied the life of our Lord back on Wednesday nights a few years ago. And as we looked at the disciples and learned about their character and learned about their personalities, the Lord had some that were members of his apostles that were around him for 3.5 years. And he had some unusual temperaments among these men. Some of them were responsive and receptive. Some of them readily received every word that he spoke, and they believed every word that he spoke. But there were others, like Thomas. We call him Doubting Thomas. Don't call him that when you get to heaven, by the way. But we call him Doubting Thomas, like he's the only one that ever doubted anything. But Thomas had a hard time accepting a lot of things. He wanted proof on things. He did not quite have as strong a faith, maybe, as some of the others had. But yet there's one thing that I don't think any of them doubted, including Thomas, and that is that the Lord Jesus loved them and loved them truly. Now, the fact of that was clear, I think, to every one of those men. And yet behind the fact of his love, they felt that there was something very mysterious about it. There was something different in the love of Jesus, different from all the other human love that they had known about. Never had anyone loved them so unconditionally. Never had anybody loved them and demanded nothing in return. His love was real. His love was powerful. His love was unassuming. But above everything else, they understood and knew that his love for them was full and complete. And it was then, once they understood this great love, it was then that the Lord Jesus made this comparison in the upper room when he on the eve of his crucifixion told them how much he loved him. And I dare say that that once they understood this and once they realized it, I would guess that it took them quite a while to really understand and comprehend the fullness of what he said to them here. But he said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Now, folks, I want you to think about this statement, and I want you to think about the disciples in the following years. I want you to think about it. This is Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. And in the quietness of the upper room, on the eve of his crucifixion, he looks over at the disciples and confirms to them and relays to them and expresses to them just how much he loves them. And I want you to think with me this morning as we look at this love. I want you to think about the disciples in the upcoming years. Jesus is about to die, be buried, be resurrected, and then ascend to the Father and leave them to carry out His work and His ministry. He is going to leave them and go to heaven. But I want you to think about in the following years after the crucifixion, when they fully got a hold of this idea of how much He loves them, I want you to think about them, the long hours of darkness that they faced. I want you to think about how they were hated and persecuted and despised. I want you to think about how the devil attacked them from every angle. And then as they sit and think about in the midst of their persecution, as they think about the Lord Jesus, it comes back to their mind this statement that He made. They're suffering, they're being persecuted, they're being thrown in jail, they are enduring great suffering. But then it comes back to their minds and they realize, wait a minute, the Lord Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Hey folks, I want to serve notice on you this morning. Jesus loves you. I mean, I don't care what the economy's doing. I don't care what the election looks like. I don't care what your condition your IRA is in. I want to serve notice on you this morning. Jesus loves you. Everything's all right in my Father's house because you've got a promise here that Jesus loves you. Now, I want us to think about this statement. Just how did the Father love His Son? Just how much did God love the Lord Jesus? Well, with the same love that the Father had for the Son, that is how the Lord Jesus loves you. Now, I want you to think about this love from three different perspectives this morning. First of all, I want to say to you that the Father's love inspired the Son for the service He performed. It was the love that the Father had for the Son that inspired the ministry and the service that the Lord Jesus performed when He came to this earth. Going back to the verse, it says, as the Father loved the Son, in the same manner does the Son love us. You see, it was the Father's love for Jesus that sent Him to this world to die. Understand that. It was the Father's love for His Son that sent Him into this world to die. Now, folks, you must remember that God sent His Son into the world not to be ministered unto, but to minister. God did not send Jesus for Him to be served. He sent Jesus so Jesus could serve us. Man, that's an amazing thought right there. I mean, He made a statement one day and He said, the birds of the air have their nest and the foxes have their holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. And all of this was done. The whole reason that Jesus came was so that He could serve us. And He did all of this because He loves us so very, very much. You know, human love is often prone to selfishness. You know that to be true. Human love is often prone to selfishness. But we don't see that in God's love, and we certainly don't see that in Christ's love. No, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the whole foundation upon which Jesus came to this earth was because God loves us so much. And when Jesus came, He came to die for every man. He came to pay the debt of sin for even the most wicked of sinners. He came to die for that little old sweet grandmother who every time she opens her mouth, rose petals fly out. But He also came to die for the most wicked of sinners who every time he or she opens their mouth, cursing and bitterness comes out. So understand, dear friend, that He died for everyone. Paul said that the Lord Jesus came to give His life for us, even when we did not love Him, even when we hated Him or despised Him. That did not matter. And that is being a servant. And that, dear friends, is love. Now, Think of this. The Father loved him, and that's why he sent him to die for us. Think about it. We want to be around folks that love us, don't we? Would you agree with that? I mean, if you were to come to me and say, Pastor, you can be here at the Church of the Open Door with people that love you, or you can go across the street and sit down at Cactus Willie's with a room full of liberal politicians, which one would you choose? Well, it's not even, I don't even have to think about that. I'd rather be here with you, because I dare say that once I start uttering what I believe, I'm not going to be very welcome in that room. But you see, we want to be around people that we love. And yet, the Lord Jesus left heaven where he was loved and adored, and he came to this world where he was hated and despised, and the only reason he did that was because of his great love for you and for me. That, dear friends, is love. He came to dwell amongst men who hated him and who would eventually send him to the cross to die. And folks, that is love. It was the Father's love that sent him to the world to die. God did not search through heaven and then ask one of the angels to come and die for us. God did not look at Gabriel and say, Gabriel, I want you to go down and live amongst men and dwell amongst men and die and give your life. No, he did not do that. He did not ask Michael to come and give his life. He looked at his own son and asked Jesus to leave heaven and come to this earth and die for us. You say, well, how did Jesus know the Father loved him if he asked him to do that? Because the Father equipped him to get the job done. It was the Father who enabled him and equipped him, giving him everything he needed for the ministry that he sent him to do. I'm simply saying, folks, that it was the Father's love that kept him on track to do what he came to do. And when he came, he never got off course. He never got discouraged. He never gave up. And what kept him going was the realization that he was doing the will of the Father, the very Father who loved him with an ever-dying love. And now here he is ready to leave his disciples. And so on the last night, he turns to them and says, men, as the Father has loved me, that's how I love you. Now, folks, can you just imagine how these words must have comforted these men in the years that were to follow? Can you just imagine, think about it, when he left them and ascended up to the throne of God, when he left them to carry out the ministry and that great commission that he had given to them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then when they started their ministries, they found out something. They found out that they weren't loved very well by the world. They were loved by Jesus. Oh, he confirmed that to them on the night he left him. And I'm sure that in the following years after Jesus left and they started doing his ministry and preaching the gospel, they appreciated the fact that he gave them that assurance. Think about them. They were hated. They were despised. They were persecuted. They were thrown in jails. They were beaten. They were mistreated. Yet, they were able to keep on the trail just like Jesus had kept on the trail. They were able to continue to do what they were sent out to do just like Jesus did what he was sent to do, because they realized that their Lord and Savior was never going to leave them and never going to forsake them, just like the Father never forsook his own Son. No matter how difficult the path, they knew that the Lord would provide for them. The songwriter said, must I be carried through the skies on flowery beds of ease? No, 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 Christian. He went on to say, I'll bear the shame, endure the cross while trusting in thy name. Oh, listen, dear friend, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it doesn't make any difference what I have to deal with. It doesn't make any difference what life throws at me. It doesn't matter how difficult the pathway may be. I've got a promise. The Lord Jesus said so right here in this 9th verse. And he said, as the Father has loved me, even so love I you. Jesus loves me. This I know. My dear friend, I want you to know He loves you too. He loves you too. You may be here today without Christ as your Savior. You may be here and you don't yet know the Lord. My friend, let me stand here and tell you that Jesus loves you. You say, preacher, how much does He love you? He loves you so much that He left all the comforts of His Father's throne. He left all the comforts of heaven just so He could come here and die on Calvary and God take your sin penalty and lay it upon Him. That's how much He loves you. My goodness, we don't know anything about that kind of love in this life. But boy, Jesus has it. There's a second thing I want you to consider. Not only did the Father's love inspire Him for the service He performed, but secondly, the Father's love did not exempt Him from awful suffering. It did not exempt Him from awful suffering. Imagine John, the beloved disciple who penned these words for us, sitting alone on the Isle of Patmos when he wrote the book of the Revelation. Imagine him, his body is wrecked with pain from the burns he suffered at the hands of evil men. You see, all of these apostles were martyred except for John. John is the only one who died, quote unquote, of natural causes, even though he was helped along. You see, tradition says, and it's not in the Bible, but there are some good sources that back it up, but tradition says that John was taken and boiled in oil. They took a cauldron and filled it full of oil and lit a fire underneath it and got it boiling. And then some men took John and picked him up and threw him into a cauldron. But when they threw him in, it tipped over the cauldron, spilling him out and did not kill him, but burned him severely. I want you to think about John. Now, the Romans had a double jeopardy clause, just like we do. You can't execute somebody twice for the same crime. And so instead of taking him out and chopping off his head, or instead of taking him out and hanging him on a cross, they instead took him and banished him on the Isle of Patmos where he wrote the book of the Revelation. And now, I want you to think about John. He gets off of that ship, and he watches as the ship pulls away, and he is left on this island to die. He now has a body that is just filled with pain from the burns that he suffered at the hands of these evil men. And I dare say that it had to cross his mind. Wait a minute. You know, the Father loves the Son, Jesus. And yet Jesus suffered more than anyone I've ever seen. I mean, the Father loved the Son, and Jesus had to go to the cross. Yes, what I've been through has been rough, but I was there. I stood by Mary, and I watched as Jesus was crucified. I watched Him, and if anybody could tell the story of how brutal the cross was, John could tell it. Can you imagine him on Patmos looking down at his burns and thinking how badly they had to hurt? And he looks down and sees his skin all scarred and infection in his hands and infection in his feet. He looks down and sees it, but a smile comes over his soul as he realized that, you know, as bad as this suffering is, it's not near the suffering that the Lord Jesus endured for me. The Father loved the Son, and yet the Son had to suffer in an awful way. Dear friend, when you see these pictures of the artist's rendering of Jesus on the cross, and you look at it, listen, I don't care how grotesque that painter makes that picture, it does not do justice to the suffering that Jesus endured. Isaiah said that He was marred beyond any man. Isaiah said that when you looked upon Him, you could not even tell that He was a man hanging on that cross. They had beaten Him so badly. They had scourged Him. They took the cat of nine tails and whipped Him with it. They plucked out His beard. I mean, Isaiah said when you looked at Him, you could not even tell that that was a man hanging on the cross. And I can imagine those disciples When they thought about what Jesus went through, when they thought about it, and they looked at their own suffering and they thought, well, you know, the Father loved Him and He had to suffer. So I guess that what I'm going through is not all that bad. Folks, listen, what parent is there in this room this morning who doesn't constantly do all we can to shield our children from suffering? We all do. That passion is in the heart of every mother as she holds her baby in her loving arms. And yet, here was the love of the Father for the Son. That love that the Father gave deliberately. And yet, the Lord Jesus had to bitterly suffer on the cross of Calvary. The cross did not sneak up on the Son of God. It was for the cross that He came. And who among us, if it was in our power, would not do everything we could to alleviate our loved ones from suffering? All of us would. I remember years ago when I was just a little boy. I was probably only about 8 or 9 years of age. And my mother was suffering from cancer, and she had had surgery and was dealing with cancer and the aftermaths. And so just about every weekend, my dad's sister would come over and pick me up and take me over to their house to spend a weekend and to go to church with them on Sunday. And I remember one Friday night, I always slept downstairs in my grandfather's apartment in the basement of their house. And I remember being stirred about 2 o'clock in the morning. I never have got those words right. And probably never will till I get my glorified body either. There's a hillbilly block right there. I just can't get awake, awoke, I can't do it. But anyway, I was stirred about 2 o'clock in the morning. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard this moaning. And I thought, what in the world? I woke up. I remember sitting up on the edge of the bed and listening for that. And I got out of bed and I went into my grandfather's room. And my grandfather was in his bed and just moaning and in tremendous pain. And I asked, what's the matter? What's wrong? He said, going back to bed, I'll be okay. And I went back into my room and crawled back in bed. And I remember falling back to sleep with the sound of him moaning in excruciating pain. The next morning, my aunt came down and and I told her, I said, man, you need to go check on him. There's something serious wrong. She went in and they called my dad. My dad came over. They took him down to the emergency room and found out that he had a real bad case of shingles. Oh, he was in excruciating pain. They tried to keep him, if memory serves me correct, but there was no way he was going to stay in the hospital. And so they brought him home. And so Saturday night, I remember sitting by his bed. And I remember holding his hand, and I remember him moving and squirming and fidgeting in the bed and not able to get comfortable and in such tremendous pain. And I remember how hurt and how broken I was that I would have done anything to alleviate the pain and suffering that he endured. My friend, listen, God sent his Son to this earth. And I want you to think of how God must have felt when he's sitting upon the throne in heaven, looked down upon this earth and saw sinful man mistreating his only begotten Son. Can you imagine God? I mean, you know, with one thought, with one word, he could have come down and rescued him and snatched him off of that cross or taken him out of the hands of those sinful men. But God withheld himself. Why? Because he loved the Son, and he knew that the only way that the Son could redeem you or me is if he let him express his love by going to Calvary's cross and dying in our place. I wonder if the disciples thought about this in later years. I can almost guarantee you they did. They were stoned. They were shipwrecked. They were persecuted. They were tortured. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. None of us have any idea what these apostles had to endure. Could it be possible, as the years passed and all this affliction came upon them, could it be possible that their master still loved them? But then, just as he promised, they remembered the words that he had spoken unto them. They remembered that he said to them on this, his last night with them before he went to the cross, as the Father has loved me, even so have I loved you. You see, he was loved, and yet he had to suffer sorely. He was loved, and yet His face was marred beyond any description. He was loved with an everlasting love, and yet he was bruised for our iniquity. He was beaten to where each one of us should have been bruised and beaten. How we thank God for the love of Christ. What an encouragement this is for the child of God who is perhaps suffering in a great way here today. What an encouragement this should be for you. How many of God's people have cried out, how could a loving God permit this? My dear friend, let me serve notice on you that it was not the loving God who invented sin. Let me remind you that all of this suffering that we see the world enduring is a sin. It's a result of sin. Let me remind you that in such an hour when pain wrecks your body, in such an hour when despair comes to your house, in such an hour when heartache meets you face to face in the middle of the road, stop and realize, wait a minute, Jesus was love and yet he had to suffer. And marvel not, dear friend, if the world hates you also. Man, we need to stop and realize some of these things. But then there's a third thing I want you to think about. I want you to think with me, thirdly, the Father's love for Christ was a love that justified itself in the end. The Father's love for Christ was a love that justified itself in the end. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean that after his suffering, he was elevated to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. It was love that sent him to this earth. It was love that made him go to the cross. It was love that lifted him up to die on the cross of Calvary. It was love that permitted him to suffer. It was love that allowed him to stay on the cross until the price was paid for your sins and mine. But the final issue of the Father's love was not the quietness of the garden tomb. The final issue of the Father's love was once love found a way to redeem fallen man and Jesus fully paid the price, God resurrected his Son from the dead and gave him a seat at the Father's right hand. The right hand is the hand of power. It's the hand of authority. But the final issue was the fact that he was resurrected and given a seat at the Father's right hand. Now, I want you to think about these disciples. Think about them once again. Here the Lord ascends. They stood and watched him as he went out of sight. They stood and watched as he ascended right up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Where did he go? He went back to the Father's right hand to make intercession for the saints. He went back to pilot the ship, so to speak, and to guide us and to lead us and to help us as we carry out the gospel that he gave us to preach. And I can see them now in the subsequent years. I mean, look at them in prison. Look at them being brought before tribunals. Look at them being interrogated and questioned and sent to jail. Look at them being beaten and thrown into the depths of the prison and shackled in chains and rats and sitting in their own excrement in the darkness. No light whatsoever. Think about them, folks, sitting there, despised, hated, scorned, rejected, but what a magnificent hope they must have. For they remember these words of verse 9. They remember the text. Down in the dungeon, in the depths of despair, when they're hurting so badly that they can't even go to sleep. But yet they remember, wait a minute, Jesus loves me. Wait a minute, Jesus loves me. And I want you to think about that hope that filled their heart. I can only imagine them sitting in cold, dark, smelly prison cells, wondering when the end is going to come. Is this it? How much more pain do I have to endure? How much more suffering do I have to handle? But then a smile comes over their face as they remember the Master's words. As the Father loves me, even so have I loved you. they would smile and they would realize that one day soon they're going to leave all this sorrow behind. They're going to leave all this suffering behind, all the pain and the brutality. And one of these days, and it won't be long, they're going to be ushered into the very presence of God Almighty, into a home that has been prepared for them. Can you imagine the hope that was in their heart? You say, well, Pastor, is that my hope? Yes, it is, dear friend. That is your hope. Now, dear friend, listen, we are living in perilous times. Would you agree to that? I mean, I dare say that there's not a one of us in here who fully comprehends the scope of everything that happened this week with our economy. I dare say that in the coming days and weeks ahead, it's going to be more clear to us. We'll have a better understanding. But I don't know about you, but I sat Friday night, I sat Thursday night, and I watched the news and tried to get a grip on it, tried to get a handle on it, tried to understand it. I don't understand what has happened. I do know this, it's a mess. I do know this, you've got some of the brightest minds in America getting on TV and saying, I don't know, boy, this is not good. And they're taking us back, all the way back to the depression days and saying, you know, this and saying that, boy, hopefully we can do this. And I'm sitting there going, hopefully, wait a minute, wait, hopefully. Hey, folks, think about it. $700 billion have been poured into the economy over the weekend. Of our tax money, we are paying ourselves to keep solvent. And money we don't have. And I dare say if we understood the gravity of that situation right now, every one of us would be scared to death. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But you say, well, Pastor, what are we going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to realize, come what may, Jesus loves me. Amen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to claim this book that is filled with promise after promise that this is not all there is, that life here is just a moment in time to prepare for eternity. And I'm going to realize that, hey, I don't care what Obama does. I don't care what McCain does. I don't care what Congress does. My God is bigger than all of them put together. I don't care what the economy does. Jesus loves me, and that's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. Because one of these days, dear friend, either in the rapture or by death, and either one's okay, but I would prefer the rapture. Really, I would. And let me say once again for all the new folks, if I do die before Jesus comes, do not walk by me and look at me in that casket and say, doesn't he look good? You do, and I'm going to ask the Lord if I can come back and haunt you. Now, I know he won't let me, but I'm going to ask him. Do not walk by me and say, doesn't he look good? No, he doesn't look good. He's dead. I've never understood why people say that. Doesn't he look good? No, he's dead. But don't you dare walk by me and feel sorry for me either. Because I want you to know I've been elevated. I've been ushered into the presence of the one that loves me. I am now standing on streets of gold and looking at walls of jasper and gates of pearl and a river of life and a tree that blossoms 12 times a year with 12 different fruits. Hey, listen, I'm looking at a throne, and on that throne is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't you feel sorry for me. And by the way, I'm not going to feel sorry for you either. Because really the truth of the matter, oh, well, so-and-so died. Yes, they did. But they're saved. They went to heaven. And look at me. They're better off than any of us. Don't you sit around and feel sorry for them because they died. Really what you're doing is you're feeling sorry for yourself. Don't do that. Man, we're all going to stand around the throne one of these days and hold our hands up in the air and look at that Lamb and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Not worthy is Obama. Not worthy is McCain. Not worthy is George Bush. Not worthy is the United States of America. But worthy is the Lamb, the one that loves us. Oh, my friend, get a hold of that fact. Would you this morning Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Now you, listen, you just pick yourself up, okay? Man, I'm tired. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to trust Jesus. That's what we're going to do. When you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. You should not be discouraged. You should not be walking around with your lower lip dragging the ground, gathering dust. You ought to be sitting here going, wow, man, look at this. It's unfolding even as we speak. And Jesus is coming back. Could be today. It could be today. By the way, it wouldn't surprise me if it was. I hope he does. I got to go to the dentist this week. I'd just soon take a beating as go to the dentist. I mean that. Just go ahead and whoop me. I'll stand there and take it. Then go over and sit in the dentist chair. Now sit still. Yeah, you try to sit still, Eddie. You've got four hands in your mouth. You try to sit still. Hey, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. My dear friend, He loves you too. Oh, if you're here today and you don't know Him, realize He loves you. Little girl came home from Sunday school and her old agnostic dad was sitting there reading a newspaper. And little girl came in excited and she said, Daddy, guess what I learned in Sunday school this morning? And he... Daddy, guess what I learned in Sunday school? And he knew she wasn't going to stop. So finally he dropped a paper and said, what did you learn? She said, Daddy, I learned that Jesus loves me. And he goes, he said to her, well, how much does He love you? And the little girl just put her arms out like this. She said, Daddy, He loves me this much. In the form of a cross, Daddy, He loves me this much. And that's how much He loves you, dear friend, so much that He willingly left heaven, came to this earth, and went to Calvary's cross to die for you. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. Father in heaven, thank You so much for Your precious word, filled with so many promises. And Lord, here we are in a world that is falling down around us. Lord, help us to trust in the precious promises of the Savior. Lord, bless what's been said and encourage the people of God. Lord, this is not the time to get discouraged and filled with despair. This is the time to get excited, for our Lord is coming again. Could be today. Lord, if it's not today, we pray that it'll be tomorrow. But Lord, we're looking forward to that day when we see You face to face, when our faith is turned into sight. Now, Father, speak to hearts and encourage us together in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. No one looking around. I wonder how many folks here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. And I know in whom I have believed. And if I died, I know I'm saved. Amen. God bless you. Now you may put your hands down. Thank you so much. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask this. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand with everybody. I don't know 100% for sure that I'm saved, but I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me that I'll get saved before it's too late. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I tell you what, I will pray for you. Lift your hand, hold it up. Anybody like that this morning? Pastor, pray for me. I could not raise my hand to say I know I'm saved, but I raise it right now to say I'm concerned about my soul. Anybody? Lift your hand and hold it up. Hold it up. All right. How many Christians here today will say, "Pastor, I'm saved, but man, I don't know. I seem to have lost my spark. I seem to have lost my enthusiasm. I seem to have lost the desire to live for the Lord." And God's speaking to my heart. I realize how much He loves me, and I realize what He did for me. And Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand up, Christian? Let me pray for you all over this building. Raise your hand. Yes, God bless you, folks. God bless you, folks. Amen. Amen. Yes, God bless you, folks. Now, folks, let's stay with it. Oh, my. I mean, these are exciting times, boy. And if ever there's a time we ought to be in church, it's now. If ever there's a time we ought to be soul winning, it's now. If ever there's a time we ought to be reading the Bible, it's now. Man, the signs are pointing everywhere. Our Father, thank you for our time together this morning, and I pray your blessings upon it. Lord, give us what we need here this morning. I pray that this altar will be filled with folks coming and praying and getting alone with you and Lord, getting some things right. And you saw the hands, Lord. The hands represent hearts. And Lord, I pray that our hearts will be receptive and responsive to the things of God today. Lord, may we be more comfortable up here at the altar in prayer than standing in our seat and singing the hymn. Lord, just draw us to yourself. I pray, Lord, that we'll make that decision that we need to make. And Lord, I pray that victories will be won. Lord, reach down into every heart now and stir our hearts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and stand together singing 187, hymn 187. We'll sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." And whatever your need may be, I invite you to come. If you need to join the church this morning, come and join the fellowship of the church. We'd love to have you as a part of Church the Open Door. And we invite you to come and make that commitment to the Lord today. Whatever it is, maybe you've been saved, but you've not been baptized. You ought to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But whatever, let God have His way. Those of you that raised your hand, come and get along with the Lord. Let's sing it together. Here we go.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus.
Would you come right now? Come on. Jesus loves you.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Sing the next verse, please.
Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gate to open wide. It will wash away our sin. Let His little child come in.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, let's bow our heads, please. You may put your books away. I want the organ to continue to play. And as the instrument plays, if God has spoken to your heart, there's still time to come and make that decision for the Lord. If you're not saved, dear friend, please, today is the day of salvation. That's what Paul said. Today, don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. Why don't you come today and put your trust in the Lord? Just step out and come right now while she plays. Folks, look this way, please. Thank you for your patience this morning. This young man over here is Del Gregory, and he was just saved during the Sunday school hour. And he is coming forward to make a public profession of his faith in the Lord and wants all you folks to know he got saved. He also wants to be baptized. And so we thank the Lord for your decision. Dale, God bless you, sir. And did you ask the Lord to save you this morning? Did you? Good. You know, if you ask, he'll save. That's what he said. So we thank the Lord for that. If you rejoice with Dale and welcome him into the fellowship upon his baptism, say amen. Amen. Me as well. Well, bless your heart, sir. We're so glad for your decision. All right, folks. God bless you. Have a great afternoon, and we will see you back tonight at 7 o'clock. And let's have a great service tonight. God bless you. You are dismissed.